It's the shipping container freaking with you on a Friday. It is a Greg Cody Friday because of the way that everything has turned out this week. Greg is here on a happy hour Friday, even though we're not really close to happy hour. I do like calling it happy hour Fridays, don't you?
Well, I'm happy. So, and it's Friday, so it fits. Yeah, let's go for it.
We got Billy, Roy. Chris is somewhere. We don't really know where Chris is. Usually he's the one freaking with you on a Friday. He's having computer issues, so he may pop up. He may not. We're going to have Dave Dwork, who covers the Panthers, on in a little bit. But the most important thing that all South Floridians are thinking about right now, Hurricane Isaias. Just upgraded from a tropical storm to a hurricane. Greg, your thoughts. Boys, your thoughts on now it becoming a hurricane.
Well, you know, down here in Miami, we are in the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic, which just swallowed the entire Miami Marlins team. So, honestly, when I see a Category 2 coming at me, I'm sort of like just shrugging my shoulders and smiling. I mean, it's a different context this time. I'm not that worried about it. I'm not the cone obsessive tracker like my wife is, so she keeps me updated. And she assures me that, you know, we're going to be on the edge of it and we might get – you know, might get 30, 40 mile an hour winds and everything. So I'm not thinking drastic preparedness. I'm thinking, oh, I better take down that hanging plant out back. You know what I mean? That's about it.
I mean, I'm one of these that looks to look at all these maps, and I know that, you know, check the 2, the 5, the 8, the 11, and then back to the 2, 5, 8, and 11. And I'm always checking, Greg, and I'm looking right now at my Max Tracker app from Local 10 News.
You kept it on your phone? And
oh, well, okay. Look, I go through waves, right? This app I've always kept because it for me seems to be one of the more helpful ones locally. So like right now I can see like where the cone is, right?
Oh, wow.
And then just with the click of a button, and this is the most recent one, I can look at like the spaghetti models, right? So I can see that. these little bottom ones here are a bit problematic because they have it going closer to Miami. You can't see this, but I'm showing everybody as though I was a weather person on my phone with my finger. So there's the ones that have it here kind of going up the coast and maybe not touching Florida, maybe just like on a bit of the outside. Then we have the spaghetti models that have it down here going over Miami, which hopefully we can avoid. But yeah, so I'll keep the weather apps going. Something that I will do, and maybe I shouldn't admit this, but I'll admit it. I will follow the local meteorologist down here during hurricane season. And then once we're kind of out of it in October, November, it's a quick unfollow because there's certain people that look, I want to know when the hurricane's coming. I want to know your hurricane information. I don't need to know your thoughts on everything else, okay? And like there's certain hurricane celebrities down here that like to tell us their thoughts on everything, and I could do without it, honestly. You know what I mean? Not going to get into any names, but I'll unfollow a John Morales from November to July every year.
Are we on the clean side or the dirty side of the storm?
Always a good question.
Wow, that is a good question. We're not at that point yet where we know. Well, I mean, they know. I don't know if it's a clean side or the dirty side. Talk to me in like 24 hours. Well, in 24 hours, we might be getting hit because it seems like this is going to be a Saturday event. You know what? I'll text you in like 8 hours or so, and I'll let you know what side we're on, Roy, if it's the clean side or the dirty side.
All right, cool.
The whole idea of being a meteorologist on TV is sort of weird because you go about 360 days a year not really needing the meteorologist. Let's be honest. I don't care whether it's supposed to be 84 degrees tomorrow or 86. It doesn't really affect my life that much. I can get the rain projections elsewhere. The only time I go to my local meteorologist is that one week every year where we're about to get hit by something. Other than that, hey, take the rest of the year off.
I mean, look, they do good work, and they, you know, thank you for your service, meteorologists. You get us through these tough times, and I don't know anything about hurricanes, so I need to rely on you guys, but I don't need to know your Marlins opinions, all right, and how great a job Derek Jeter's doing. But here's another thing that's a bit of a racket. So I was going through this morning, and I guess, you know, because – our social medias are like spying on us. So like my Instagram and my, you know, Twitter, like they're always listening to what I'm doing. So they'll have like ads that pop up that are directed just towards me. So I got an ad that popped up and it was like the number one weather app, blah, blah, blah. And it's NOAA Weather Radar Live. And I was like, this is great, right? I'm going to click it. I'm going to have a live radar. I'm not going to have to wait 3 hours. I'm going to, minute by minute, I'm going to be looking at this storm from space or however it is this thing works, right? So I go to do it. And it has the button, and I'm like, how much is this going to cost? Because I'm not going to pay for this. And I'm especially not for a tropical storm / category one. If we were talking like a 3+, then maybe I'd be thinking about paying for this, right? So I'm looking at this app, and it has the magical, like, just download without a price. And I'm like, great. Then in the little bottom, it says in-app purchases. And I'm like, oh, boy, what are we going to do? Like, am I going to pay to change, like, the color of the, you know, whatever? So then I go and I start doing it. It's like, we need to know your location. I'm like, that makes sense. You know, it needs to know where I am because of the fact that we're tracking a hurricane and it needs to tell me the weather in my area. So I click the, you know, allow only while using, which I know it's just following me around the entire time anyways, right? Then it says like send push notifications. I don't know about you guys and push notifications. I always say no. I don't need push notifications on anything. If I need to know about something, I'll look it up. I don't need you telling me, because imagine if every single app I said yes, I'd be getting nonstop notifications on everything, right? So I say no on that. So then I get to the third screen, and the third is something that was like $24.99 or like $7.99, some ridiculous. It was over $1.99. It was way too much. So it was like, pay for the full version of this app for like whatever 99, let's just say like $12.99 or something, which is like outrageous for an app. So it says that, right? And then on top of it, it says try free trial for 7 days and then $2.99 a week after that. I'm like, like $3 a week, I'm going to pay for this app. I don't need this in a week. I need this for 3 days and then I'm done until the next one comes like a month from now. You think I'm going to pay $3.99? Noah, whoever you are, NOAA, listen to me. I don't know how you do business. I assume that you're some sort of government agency, right, with all the letters. I'm sure you have grants. I'm sure you're funded by taxes or something. You don't need my $3 every single week to tell me that I'm going to get hit by a hurricane, all right? For that, I can go to the Max Tracker app, and I'll just find out every 3 hours what the update is, but I don't need to follow you. So you got to drop your rates, or you got to drop this app, because no one's going to pay you $3 a week to figure out what's going on with hurricanes unless you're a meteorologist.
$156 a year. $3 a week for 52 weeks to have an app that you can have for free somewhere else.
But I only need the app, again, for like this week when it's free, when there's a hurricane coming. I'm not this like lover of meteorology that like on a random November 17th, let me look to see what the clouds are doing or what the waves are doing or what kind of dust is flying around in the environment. I don't need to know these things. I just care about hurricane season. And I understand that there's people across the country that do not relate to this, obviously, right? If you're listening to this and you're in like Wisconsin, you're not like, I mean, heaven forbid, but I think I'm safe to say you're not going to get hit by a hurricane in Wisconsin. Now, stranger things have happened, but I think that you're safe in Wisconsin from hurricanes. So you could use this app for snowstorms or whatever, right? But for me, I mean, it's just going to be how hot is it going to be today, right? Like Greg was saying, is it going to be 84 or is it going to be 87? Either way, the feels like it's going to be 115, right? Yeah. It's going to be awful no matter what. So an 84 and 87 doesn't matter because the feel like's always 99, right? So I only need this for hurricanes. And hurricane season is July until like November, I think, right? Because we've been getting later storms every year. And by the way, we've been getting like massive storms the past couple of years where we keep getting some fives appearing. And I'm hoping that that trend does not continue. But it seems like it may continue. For the most part, we only need this, not even in July, because July is usually like a good month. We'll need it like September to November, right? The August ones will come sporadically. Here we go. But I only like 3 months. So if you think I'm going to pay $3.99 or $2.99 a week, all these weeks leading up to like the thing, you know that I didn't click the free trial. I'm saving that trial for when the five is coming, then I can have it. Now, that little button disappeared, so I don't know if I accidentally accepted the free trial or not. But guess what? I'm going to buy a new phone before I pay $3 a month or $3 a week for that. I will go and get a new phone and just keep doing free trials before I pay NOAA $2.99 a week to track hurricanes.
Am I the only one who doesn't pay for apps? Because, you know, if an app is free, it's me, but I don't have a single app that I'm paid that I pay for. Is that unusual? Does everybody pay for apps?
Maybe one. And One thing that I do pay for, which I was like, I don't want to do this. I'm not feeling good about this. I feel gross doing it. It was $2.99 a month, and it was to like triple the amount of storage, like in the cloud, so that I could save pictures. And I'm like, $2.99 a month seems like so much, which is ridiculous because I'll go and I'll buy a Whopper for like $5, but I'm like fighting the idea of paying $2.99 every month just to keep my pictures. I feel like pictures are my pictures. And don't get me started on clouds. I know we've talked about clouds a little bit with meteorology. This is a different type of cloud. This is like a digital internet storage cloud where your things are just floating above everybody's head in the world and everybody's images are just out there. And I don't know how it is that they survive these storms, but they're just floating around out there. Let me start on that because I already know that, listen, you're telling me that I have this cloud that has all my stuff private. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think that there's someone that's there in Apple that's just going through everybody's pictures for fun.
I think Apple has turned into one of the biggest con artists on the planet with the cloud thing, right? Because not only did they give you the option of, hey, you know, you always get the notification in your settings and it's like, hey, listen, you're getting really close to the limit on your storage. Do you want to upgrade? And then it's like, no, $2.99, $10.99, $15.99 for all the different storages. What they did in the newest update is they took away the no. So it's like $15.99, $10.99, $3.99. But there's no option to say no. So you almost have to like exit out of it and then redo it all again. It's a scam. And then if you press yes, you're on the hook for $15 a month.
You always got to keep an eye on that because there's always like a little random like fine print thing that tells you how to opt out of it, right? So like, Greg, I know that you're a big video gamer. You know the game Mario Party on the Nintendo Switch? That seems like it's right up your speed.
Yeah.
For those of you who aren't like Greg and I that know about Mario Party, this is the way that it works. It's basically like a digital Candyland, right? So like you roll a fake die and then you go around and then you land on a space and you get these little things and you play these mini games, whatever, right? So one of the things that you run into is like this little guy and it's like a pop-up store that comes up, right? And it's like, do you want to spend 3 coins, 5 coins, or 7 coins to buy these different things that you can use later in the game, right? And you're like, oh my God, I need to save 10 coins to buy a star. And if I spend the 3 coins here, then I'm not going to have enough to buy a star because Greg, like, you know, name of the game in Mario Party, stars. So you know that if you spend these things, you're not going to have enough to buy a star, right? But if you look at the bottom in the fine print, there's the little like button thing that shows you if you push the bottom button, you go back and you could just bypass them without having to spend any money in all these things. And then you can get the stars. Greg?
Billy, I've honestly never played that game before in my life.
What?
I really haven't. I used to play Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, but I'm not a video gamer. I'm stuck in the past, man. I have an arcade game in my game room, and it's Ms. Pac-Man and Galaga. You know, that's where I'm at.
Mm.
Keeping it retro. I love it. On the other side of the break, David Dwork. Roy is going to talk about the Panthers, and we're going to try to figure out exactly what's going on with the NHL bubble.
Yeah, that whole cloud conversation, that's over my head, like real clouds. I don't know what the cloud means. I don't know where it is. I wonder, you know, when it's bad weather and it's a dark cloud emitting thunder, mm-hmm. Is that the cloud where all my storage is? Should I be worried? I mean, it's very
all frightening. All of your pictures are falling to the ground?
Yeah.
Like raindrops and you have right. No idea?
Exactly.
And they're somebody says, ruined. Wait a second, this is Greg in his backyard.
Yeah.
Right. If you could.
They're getting ruined.
If you could choose what kind of cloud shape your cloud was, what kind of cloud shape would you choose?
Oh, mine would be, an animal shape. You know, my cloud is like a rhinoceros, ooh. You know, running the plains in Africa, you know. It's, look at that little horn up there, you know. Did you guys ever do that when you were kids?
Look at clouds.
Literally stare at clouds for like shapes, discernible shapes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do that. I was like mesmerized.
I feel like that's almost like a byproduct of your era, right? Like the less TV you had, the more you looked at clouds. The more TV you had, the less you looked at clouds.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't remember looking at clouds and being like, oh man, there's
really?
A butterfly.
And you never used to tell everyone, like, hey, look, there's a, you know, a school bus or something. You never used to do that?
I mean,
no, we did that. We lay on our backs.
Clouds were the original Instagram.
Yeah, well,
it wasn't even drug induced.
Roy, what's your favorite type of cloud? Stratus, cumulus, or cirrus?
Oh, he's been a cumulus guy.
Ooh. Really? It's funny how like there was a point in like schooling where they decided this is something that's really important for kids to learn is the types of clouds. And I couldn't tell you, like, if my life depended on it, I could not tell you what clouds were in the sky now. I can't differentiate any of them. They just look, I can tell you if it's a rain cloud or if it's not a rain cloud, and that's pretty much it.
Is there a cumulonimbus cloud?
Yeah, and then there's like cumulostratus where there's like hybrids.
That's the thing. They start mixing and it's like, you know, it's not just that one, you know, list that you read. It's like everything can join in together.
Oh, Greg, I'm looking at a cloud that looks like an elephant right now.
With a big trunk and everything?
Yeah, well, a little one. It's more of like a Dumbo type where it's like a little baby elephant with a little baby trunk. And then there's this other one that's a cloud. Oh, it looks like Winnie the Pooh. Hey, David Dwork, welcome to the show. What's your favorite type of cloud?
I don't really have a favorite type of cloud.
Wow. Well, anti-cloud.
Clouds? I didn't know there were kind.
Yeah, well, there's cirrus, there's stratus, there's cumulus. And we were saying how we don't know how it is that at some point someone determined that it was really important for kids in school to know the different types of clouds. And then we were talking to Greg about how Greg used to look at clouds to see things, and then we were looking at pictures of like elephant clouds, and we determined that clouds were the original Instagram. So now that you're all caught up, what's going on with the Panthers?
Well, I was actually looking at a cloud earlier this morning, and I was thinking, wow, Sergei Bobrovsky.
Is it a cloud that had a bunch of pucks going past him?
I guess I set that one up. I mean, Panthers-wise, it's exciting because hockey's coming back, and I mean, sports are coming back, so we're all just kind of losing our minds right now. But, yeah, I wish I could say that there's a lot of optimism in my head, but after the way that the season ended and then the way that the exhibition game went, I'm unfortunately kind of very pessimistic at this point.
What exactly happened during that Lightning game? I saw part of the first period and that awful turnover in deep, deep, deep in the defensive zone, and it was just terrible. So what happened?
Well, that goal particularly, it was just a poor decision in the corner by Wallmark to blindly pass it behind him, and it led to a turnover, which, you know, you and I both know you cannot give the puck away when you have it in your own zone. But overall, I mean, the game, it just was sloppy to me, Roy. They didn't look very cohesive in either zone. You could see just watching them try to defend that guys were kind of looking around, looking for where to go instead of instinctively knowing what zone they should be covering or if they should be following the puck carrier. And then offensively, they had no sustained pressure, which was kind of this team's bread and butter. Like, for all their defensive struggles, they were solid with the puck. They were solid moving it towards the opposition's goalie and then keeping it down there. And you saw none of that on Wednesday against Tampa. It looked like a mess. And I'm wondering how 2 days of practice is going to fix that.
Well, we're looking at this matchup with the Islanders now. We know that the Islanders are a good defensive team. They're top five in shots blocked. And the Panthers are a very good offensive team. What kind of matchups are we looking at here?
It's funny that you bring up the shot blocking, because that's an element that when the Panthers faced teams that were good like the Islanders at clogging things up, blocking shots, taking away those sight lines, they did struggle during the season. And that's why Florida, when they did play the Islanders three times, they lost all three tight games, three games in which Florida actually carried the play for the most part, but they still lost. It just goes to show that when you play a team like the Islanders, they'll give you the outside. They'll let you kind of hang on to the puck a little bit, but you're not going to get very many high quality opportunities. And if the Panthers can't get their offense going, I mean, defense be darned, it's going to be a really tough series. Both teams are healthy at this point. I mean, everybody's healthy at this point, but both teams have their guys back. The Islanders had, the defenseman Pelech, who had been out since like January. He's such a big key to protecting the front of their goaltender. He's back. So it's going to be a test for the Panthers. It really is. And so much concern goes into the defensive aspect of it. But if they can't get their offense going, if they can't do what they do best, it's going to be a real problem.
David, the Panthers had such a great offseason. They signed Bobrovsky. Coach Q, one of the all-time winningest coaches. I think hopes were really high. If they don't get past the Islanders in this series, where would you put this season? Forgetting the disruption of the pandemic for a second, where would you put this season on a scale of disappointing to mild success? How would you characterize it unless they advance?
if they don't get past the Islanders, then this would probably go down as one of the more disappointing seasons, just because, as you said, they basically killed the offseason. They couldn't have done any better. They brought in the best goalie you could get. They got one of the best coaches of all time. They brought in guys that had tons of playoff experience, been to the finals. Everything that you could say this team needed headed into the season, they addressed those concerns. And yet still, they only got into the postseason because of the expanded postseason. And even then, they have to win a series just to get into the traditional bracket. So, yeah, I think, and it's not, this isn't me saying it. I'm sure if you go across the locker room, everybody would say the expectations were way up here and we didn't deliver. And you know, what happens going forward is going to be interesting to find out, because, you know, they do have so many pieces in place. But yeah, if they don't get past the Islanders, if they don't do anything in the postseason, one of the more disappointing seasons, I would have to say, in team history, just because of what they're built to do.
We're joined by David Dwork, who covers the Panthers for WPLG. You can also check out his podcast, Chirping the Cats. David, so you addressed it there. I am not someone who knows a ton about hockey, right? So you addressed it there where you said that the playoffs this year basically are different. There's an extra round going in. Do you think, because we've said it with, you know, baseball, we said it with basketball, that this season there'll be an asterisk because it's a different environment. Is that the same view in hockey? Do people think that it'll be the same thing? Or do you think that whoever wins the Stanley Cup this year, it'll be a limit?
I actually think whoever wins it this year is going to get maybe a little bit more credit for doing a little bit more difficult of a task than normally, because not only do they have to go through the normal gauntlet of four rounds, seven game series, you also have the added challenge of some teams are either going to have to win an extra round, which means if you know you're not one of the teams that plays that round, you still have to face a team that's already playoff primed and good to go. You have the element of everybody has had to move into a bubble, whether it's in Toronto or Edmonton. They've had to uproot their lives. They're being, you know, it's kind of like army drill, the way that they're going around specific times to eat, specific times to go to the player room or whatever, you know, the player's lounge. So, yeah, I would think that this is actually going to be a little bit more credit to the winner and whoever comes out on top, just because so many more challenges, and not just general challenges. These are unprecedented things that these guys have never had to do. Nobody's ever done what they're trying to pull off. So I'm going to give a little bit extra pat on the back to whoever actually comes out on top this year. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
How disappointing do you think that the celebrations are going to be with the Stanley Cup? Like, this seems like the season you wouldn't want to have the Stanley Cup, because you can't really have mass chugging out of the Stanley Cup. Like, you have to do it and then have to, like, sanitize it with, like, Clorox wipes, which I don't know what that would do to the finish of the Stanley Cup. But you can't have, like, the crazy partying where there's the pool parties and you're going down a water slide with the Stanley Cup. Like, this seems like this would be the lamest year to win the Stanley Cup in terms of celebration.
I would have to say it depends on who wins, because the way that things have been kind of going in our country right now, it just depends on what quadrant of the U.S. or, you know, happens to win the Stanley Cup and how big the party will be. If the Panthers happen to win the cup, I'm scared to know like what kind of parades or parties would happen down here or, you know, California, if the Dallas Stars win it in Texas right now. So it's really hit and miss. But I mean, generally, yeah, it's going to be weird to see teams going crazy for an overtime goal and nobody reacting in the arena whatsoever. Like, maybe the ice guy with the shovel will be lifting it up. Yay! But, like, it's just going to be so strange. I haven't even been thinking about past the season. I've only been thinking about what it's going to be like in the stands. So, yeah, when you take it another step further and think about how our fans are going to be able to sell, I mean, maybe Zoom parades, God only knows how it's going to be.
Even players, I want to be the last one that gets my days with the Stanley Cup. Like, I want as much freedom to do whatever I want with the cup.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be funny to see if the keeper of the cup, Phil Pritchard, if he's walking around with the cup all summer with, like, a giant vat of sanitizer and just, like, glossing it down after everybody touches it.
Well, he's got gloves, so he doesn't have to worry about putting his own germs on. Given what we know now about the Panthers, and if they don't make it past the Islanders, what's the future going to be like for Dale Tallon?
That is the question, Roy, because as much effort and time as he puts into it, at the end of the day, you know, we're in a results-based business, and the results have not been there. I mean, if you count this as a playoff year, that would be three playoff appearances in about a decade for Tallon. No playoff victories to be had, no series wins. And a lot of moves made, not much progress. So, yeah, you have to think he's going to be on the hot seat at this point. It's the only logical move that they can make, because there's only so much that you can do with this roster at this point. You're really locked into so much of it. So, yeah, Tallon, you would have to think if they don't show that they can do what he built this team to do, yeah, his butt is definitely going to be getting warm.
David, we mentioned how awful the team looked in the exhibition this week, and that they were 0-3 against this team that they're playing now in the season. So if you're a Panthers fan looking for optimism, where do you find it? What is the good thing about this matchup that you like that actually favors Florida, do you think?
Well, compared to the game against Tampa, the Islanders certainly don't have anywhere near the offensive firepower and capabilities. So it won't be that challenging, and that Florida won't be playing on their heels, you know, essentially the way that they were against Tampa. But, I mean, there's a lot of positives. There's a lot of good that you can take from this Panthers team from the season. I mean, they were one of the highest scoring teams in the league throughout the year. When they did play the game Q asked them to, Q being head coach Joel Quenneville, when they played his game, which we saw at the very end of the season before the pause hit, they were a very good, well-rounded team. They were on point in the defensive zone. They were not giving up much of anything. And then that fueled their offense, which that's where their bread and butter is. They've got plenty of skilled guys that can put the puck in the net and that can do impressive things in the offensive zone. The issue has been shutting things down in their own goaltender's end. So, you know, the positive for the Islander series is basically if they can recapture what they had at the end of the year, if guys like Alexander Barkov and Mike Hoffman and Jonathan Huberdeau, if these guys can perform the way they're expected to perform, and, you know, God willing, Sergei Bobrovsky turns into big game Bob again, and we see the Bobrovsky that we saw in the playoffs last year when he shocked the world and they swept Tampa when he was with Columbus. There's plenty of positives, Greg. It's just, you know, between being a longtime Panthers fan, which so many have, and just being a South Florida sports fan, which we're all so familiar with, positivity kind of takes you depressed to a pessimism more times than not.
The NHL lottery got a little bit complicated now because of this pandemic. Can you explain what's going on with that lottery and what prospects are out there that the Panthers could be looking for?
The lottery, basically, the way that they did it with the convoluted playoff pool and everything is that they had one lottery already in which all the teams that are not playing right now got their lottery ball. And then the bottom eight teams that wouldn't have been in the playoffs normally. No, actually, I think, I'm not sure if it was the bottom eight teams or if it was all the teams that are in the qualifying round. I just know that one of the teams that are currently playing, that are playing in the qualifying round, one of them is going to get the number one overall pick, which is ridiculous to think about. But one of the teams that loses, of the eight teams that lose, they will go into a new lottery. And then one of those eight teams will be granted the number one overall pick, which has been consensus, Alexis Lafreniere, which he's being looked at right now as kind of like a franchise-changing type player. Maybe not at the level of like a Connor McDavid or a Sidney Crosby, but certainly to where he's the undisputed number one pick.
That's crazy, man.
It's so weird right now. But, I mean, it's 2020, so are we at the point now where we're just kind of like whatever happens, happens? Like if we wake up tomorrow and the sky is polka dots, are we just going to be like, eh?
Yeah, that's true.
David, we've seen a lot of social media buzz and a lot of videos and pictures and news coming out of the NBA bubble. Why haven't we seen the same excitement, the same fun coming out of the NHL bubble?
My opinion is just, I think hockey players in generally, maybe they're taking it, I don't want to say taking it more seriously because I don't want to take away anything from what the NBA guys are doing. I'm sure everybody's taking their job very seriously. I just think it's a different setting maybe with hockey. I know that the bubbles are so strict that they're really limited to what they can do. But I mean, hockey players generally aren't like the social media giants that you see in other sports. I mean, NBA players, a lot of them live on their social media and their personalities are really sent through their social media accounts and they show what they are like off the court. Hockey players don't really, I think, have that desire. I think they're more just kind of like business oriented. All right, let's go to work. Let's do our thing. Because I've been scanning social media looking for like what's going on in the bubble. Are they playing virtual golf? Are they playing poker? What are they up to? And there's really not much to be had. Whereas, I mean, in the NBA, they're like, you know, twerking at midnight, doing whatever they're going to do. So, yeah, I just think you're just seeing the difference in athletes, the difference in mindsets there. But I'm sure they're having some fun, maybe just not as much fun.
All right. Well, he's David Dwork, covers the Panthers for WPLG. You can check him out. Thanks, David, for your time.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Take care.
Roy, I think that you've been replaced as our hockey expert. David Dwork seems to know more about hockey than you do.
So that's how you're going to start this segment?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, we go to you and we ask you these questions, and I feel like I just learned a lot from David Dwork. I don't think that he knows more than you do about hockey. Not to criticize him, obviously, he was a great guest. I think that he likes sharing his hockey thoughts with us more than you do, which is probably more of an us problem than a you problem, I would say.
I would probably agree with that. Yeah, sure.
Hmm.
We should have had a face-off, Dvorak versus Bellamy, where we asked like three trivia questions and whoever gets the most right. You know,
What would you have asked, Greg? What would you have asked?
Oh, God. I'm no Dvorak or Bellamy. I would have to research my questions. How many goals did Pavel Bure score in 1996? I don't know.
Did you do that on purpose where you said face-off because it was hockey?
I sure did. How about that? I know that much.
Greg, you're a pro. Greg, name as many Panthers as you can.
Bobrovsky, Huberto, Quenneville. Does he count? Because he's in a suit. I don't know.
Sure.
I'm bad on names. I know the defenseman with a beard, beautiful beard, and I just can't think of his name right now. But, no, I could probably if I thought about it and wasn't stammering so much, I could probably name five or six guys, probably not more than that.
How about all time? What's your Mount Rushmore of Panthers?
Wow. I would put Van Beesbrouck in there. I would put Pavel Bure in there.
It's Dan, Stu, and Greg Cody on ESPN Radio.